And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rexrode here at 102.5 The Game. Joe Rexrode here. Connor Newt in for Robbie Stanley today. Ian Safar producing. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We have a great show today. We got a lot of people coming on the show today. But Connor Newt, you got your butt up earlier this morning. How you feeling, buddy?
I'm getting there.
Yeah?
I think last night the mistake was, oh, I'm going to stay up and finish this Vanderbilt-Alabama game, and I'll be fine in the morning. And then that was not the case at 4:30 this morning.
I did the same. Ian, did you also, or did all three of us stay up for this basketball game?
No, I did not.
You're the smart one.
Yeah, I had some, was busy with family stuff, and then halftime saw it was tied, and then I fell asleep.
Yeah.
So, on the couch.
Totally understandable.
So, yeah, unfortunately, I missed what looks like a really fun game.
Yes, and in fact, we're gonna start right there, which I really hope actually Robbie's listening right now. Hey, Robbie, college basketball segment, buddy, right away. You leave, and we do a college basketball segment immediately, okay? In fact, okay, I have an idea today. Right now I have us down for one college basketball segment. However, I'm going to open it up. You know, text line, if you would like us to continue to talk about college basketball even after this, you let me know. I'm looking at Titans coach search next, but I'm going to leave this up to the people.
I have the Kentucky poll. Don't worry. They'll call in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to talk about your Wildcats. That's a tough one. So before we get into Vandy Bama, real fast. So they get the big guy back. All of a sudden, their defense looks totally different. They beat St. John's, which, you know, as time goes on, beating St. John's looks less and less impressive. But, are you worried about this team not making the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I am.
You are.
It's just a testament to the poor roster construction and, quite frankly, the poor coaching job I think Mark Pope has done this year. I really don't understand how we go from last year's coach, Mark Pope, to this year's. It doesn't make sense to me, and maybe he's in over his head, maybe the lights are just too bright for him on that job, but I'm worried that this team's just not good enough to make the NCAA tournament.
But okay, so I hear you. I agree on roster construction. He made some mistakes. It doesn't all fit together.
And
I looked at it and I was like, man, that's a lot of talent, but like the pieces don't fit together especially well. The bright lights, though, I guess I don't understand that. Like, considering how he came out last year.
Yeah.
You know, that five-out offense looked so good. He was kind of a breath of fresh air. I mean, he knows Kentucky basketball. Obviously, he's won a championship as a player. He handled all that. So why would that be the thing now?
I think what I'm trying to say is there have just been times this season. Last night was an example where he just feels like he's being outcoached. And there are times where some of his rotational guys he puts out there don't quite make sense. Like, I realize he believes this is a deep roster, and he goes, you know, 10, 11 guys deep, which is fine. But it doesn't make sense when you have this poor of a roster construction. You don't have many shooters. You don't have a backup point guard. You just got your, I guess, NBA lottery projected center back, and he hasn't played well except for that St. John's game. There's just things he does that I'm like, you didn't do this last year. Why are you doing it this year? So I'm not saying, oh, they should just go ahead and can them right now, because it's not going to happen.
There's some Kentucky fans who do want that to happen, but
there's crazy fans everywhere. But
sure, but BBN, I mean, BBN's got a they've got a collection.
Yes.
But okay, so yeah, no, I'm with you. I like his honesty, but sometimes I'm like, dude, stop telling us you suck as a coach. Like, you know, it's like, just
we get it.
Suck it up. And yeah. So the game and text hotline, the game text phone line and text line driven by WilsonCounty.com. You know what I'm saying? Hit us up on that. I got immediately chased from White Bluff. We can talk hoops the whole show. I mean, my goodness.
I mean, we could.
I've got, Jeff from Nebraska wants to talk about UConn coming back to beat. He says, can this whole show be oh, my God. I mean, Titans coach search people, you better step up here, because I'm getting a lot. Although I do have like a gif of college basketball. No. Let's get into Vanderbilt-Bama. Fantastic. matchup. At times, a fantastic game. Unfortunately, a horrific ref show last night. I just don't understand. Look, we've seen it a million times. Seen a game called one way in the first half of a game, and then it's called differently in the second half. What happens a lot, though, is the game – maybe a game – a lot of physicality is allowed in the first half. And so then you get some of these calls that we saw early in the second half to be like, okay, here, this is the new bar, guys. So let's – and then it kind of evens out. They just called every damn foul in the second half, the whole second half.
Well, that's
just
why the game didn't end until 10:45
at night. Oh, 2 hour and 40 minute game.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But so that ruined the flow, but it doesn't change that it's a huge win for Vanderbilt. I just listened to Tyler Hansbrough on Field of 68 continuing to hate on Vanderbilt. look, man, it's a real team. Is it a national championship? That's where we are now. I mean, it's a team that can win the SEC. I mean, that's one of the biggest games that will happen in the SEC this year.
Yeah.
There's one game against Arkansas, too. I think those are the top three teams at this point. I would say probably Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Alabama would be my top three.
Yeah, yeah, I think
probably your top contenders. You know, I do still think Florida can put it together.
They've got a big one Saturday against Tennessee. So that should be interesting.
Florida, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Vanderbilt, I mean, look, I'm a believer. Am I a believer that they can win it all? I don't know. Am I a believer that this could be the first Final Four team in school history? I think it's possible. Like, you don't want to be the two seed. You know, it's like you look at the one seed. It's like you don't want to be the two seed in Michigan's region. You don't want to be the two seed in Arizona's region. Whatever. Yeah. But I think this team is real and legitimate. And I think Tyler Tanner, who had 29 last night, and 7, I think. I think he's one of the best guards in college basketball. Just a tremendous testament to the world. I mean, that's the difference. There's a lot of good players. Mark Byington's added some good pieces, and they've brought some good players back. Tyler Nickel, of course, and McLaughlin. But to me, Tyler Tanner going from solid role player freshman with some promise to how many point guards are better than him in college basketball is really the story if you want to go bottom line on this team.
Yeah, it felt like at times the game flow just moved directly through him. I think Duke Miles compliments him perfectly too. They're just a 1-2 punch.
That's a heck of
in
a backcourt.
Yeah. There are times like Duke Miles kind of took over in the first half, and then it was the Tyler Tanner show in the second half. And look, I understand free throws were part of that. Vanderbilt shot 50 of them last night. Alabama shot like 35. So total ref show for the most part. But it was really a fun game. Like, yeah, I've went into this game thinking, well, this could be a game that goes, you know, 110 to 108, because that's the kind of offense I think both of these teams provide. Obviously, it didn't. We got semi-close, 96 to 90. But you're right, Joe. I think this is one of the bigger games early on in SEC play, and time will tell as far as how this Vanderbilt team can fare in the field of 68. But I could honestly see this being, depending on their draw, a team that makes it to the second weekend.
Yeah, no, I think it should be a second weekend team, and which is no small thing, you know, when it comes to, you know, to Vanderbilt. Obviously, I mean, they haven't had a lot of that. You know, look, I'm a believer in KenPom, Ken Pomeroy. You know, for people who are really into college basketball, I think the analytics side of college basketball is probably, I mean, I feel like that community is like its own counterculture. But KenPom is, you know, these predictive metrics mean something.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt, you know, you're talking about the fourth most efficient offense in the country. And I look, Nate Oates said this week, they haven't played anybody great, basically. Which Tyler Tanner went on ESPN last night and goes, yeah, we heard that. We heard that and we reacted to it. But, you know, Vanderbilt's schedule, I think, does look better now. I know UCF just lost, but they also just beat Kansas. SMU's a good win. Look, it hasn't. Unfortunately, they didn't play as many of these top teams as some of the other teams did.
Yeah.
But I'm at this point, you know, we're talking about fourth in offensive efficiency, and they're 13th in defensive efficiency. It's a good defensive team, too. They're fifth overall in KenPom. And that does mean something to me. And last night's win means something. So, you know, we'll see. Like, LeBaron Filon missed the last. In fact, I haven't even necessarily heard I mean, it looked like it was just maybe like a hamstring or
I think
cramp.
It was cramps.
Just cramping. That's crazy that they couldn't figure out the cramps at all to get him back on the floor for that much basketball. But, yeah, so, you know, that's – if you're Bama, you can say, hey, if we had file on – yeah, so Nate Oates, okay, I'm looking at this quote now. He says, quote, I'm not sure how he's getting full body cramps after only playing 19 minutes, but that's where we're at. It's like, oh, wow. So I guess he's blaming him for his cramps. Nate Oates, man. Nate
it's
Oates
everyone says, else's fault but
yeah,
mine.
Yeah, exactly. Nate Oates, boy, he'll say some stuff. So Bama can point to that, and unfortunately we won't get a rematch. Well, hopefully we'll get a rematch when these teams play here in Nashville in the SEC tournament. But they're both, to me, second-weekend teams. Bama's still, you know, it's a great program, Nate Oates has done, and they're a very fun team, and their backcourt is still, you know, when they get them cooking there with Holloway and Oates and, Whitesell was hitting shots last night. They're a bona fide team. So it's really exciting. I mean, it's just incredible times in general for Vanderbilt, for the Vanderbilt fan right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the women's team just beat LSU. They're undefeated. They're projected as a 2 seed. The men are projected as a 2 seed. Football just had its greatest season ever. So
the women might have the best player in college basketball. Michaela Blake's is just unbelievable.
No, I mean, she's a legit. That's the thing. Diego Pavia, it's like, this school year, athlete either at Vanderbilt, you'd be like, duh, the dude who came in second for the Heisman? I don't know.
Yeah.
It might be Michaela Blake's. She might be the national player of the year. It's like she's unfreaking believable.
Yeah.
So, all right. So there's one segment of college basketball. Are you listening, Robbie? I hope so. Chase from White Bluff says, I knew Darius Acuff coming out of IMG was going to be legit. Yes. Acuff is a top 10 pick. And Arkansas is very, I can't wait for Arkansas Vanderbilt. So, look, I got more pro college basketball than anti. So, as of now, we're going to go into the next segment. We can talk a little bit more college hoops. We are going to get into the Titans coaching search. We've got Adam Sparks going to talk Tennessee portaling later. We've got our normal Charles Robinson at 8, and we have Andrew Burnett, Predators head coach, at 7:30 coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt in for Robbie. Let's just go to the text line driven by WilsonHoneyHoney.com. Let's see. Liam McLeod. Yes! Go, Joe, go! Basketball for the win! I'm just trying to make the people happy. I just want to make the people happy. I don't know what to tell you. Jeff from Nebraska says, which does Robbie hate more, college basketball, Marcus Mariota, or Matt LaFleur?
Why does he hate Marcus? I know the other two.
Now during this time, Robbie and I weren't doing the show. It's been 6 years now, basically. 6 years ago that we started doing this. When we started like filling in January of 20. So at that point, Marcus was gone. So I was around Robbie a decent amount at Preds, at Preds stuff. He's just one of those, I think he just always thought he sucked.
Yeah.
But now I feel like in retrospect, he's even made him in his mind worse than he was. It's like, dude, I mean, Mariota did throw for like 3,500, 26 TDs, 9 picks, looked like a really a promising young quarterback coming up in 2016. Like, whether you want to admit that or not, before he broke his leg at the end of that season at Jacksonville, I would have told you, not that he's going to be like a top five QB, but he's going to get a second deal. He's going to be the guy here forever, not forever, for a long time. It didn't work out that way. But yes, Robbie, I think, was just one of those, and it was in this town very split. And when it comes to Marcus, right? There were some people who probably hung on too long to the hope with him, and definitely some people who were kind of out on him, all along. But again, early in his tenure, I think Marcus showed a lot of promise, and Robbie just always was down on him,
Revisionist Robbie.
But to answer your question, there you go. Or Rubby, as I call
Rubby.
Him going into the break. Rubby.
Boy, Rubby and Rex.
Boy, he's really glad he's missing out on this show today. It's all college basketball and calling him Rubby. To answer your question, Jeff from Nebraska, I think Matt LaFleur is clearly the answer.
Yes.
Matt LaFleur is clearly the answer.
Although Shane Beamer's on that list, too.
That is true. That is true. Beamer and Drinkwitz, too. Yeah. Drinkwitz, those guys would be right there. But I would say LaFleur.
And David Legwan.
David Leguan.
Yeah. He does not like David Leguan. I've been told that.
Okay.
He's told me that.
I guess I didn't realize that. Ed wants a whole segment on Big East basketball from the 80s. I tell you what, Ed. Sherman Douglas, man. Sherman Douglas and Syracuse. Syracuse, Georgetown. I mean, those games, you know, it's sad what has happened and some of these rivalries in college sports. People don't know. Syracuse, Georgetown, John Thompson, Jim Boeheim. I mean, twice a year. Absolutely can't miss. Stevie Thompson, Sherman Douglas, Billy, oh my gosh, who the heck was there? Awesome. Someone help me out. Text line, I know you're going to pick me up. Billy. Sherman Douglas, Stevie Thompson, they had Ronnie Cicely, they had Derek Coleman, but who the heck was the big guard? And I'm looking at Connor. Yeah. Like you were, it was so long before you were conceived. There's no point in, my God, this is going to bother me. I can't move on in this show until I figure this out. But, yes, Ed, Big East basketball in the 80s was absolutely incredible. Billy Owens? Yeah, Billy Owens. Thank you.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, Billy Owens.
That would have really freaking bothered me. Woo! Billy Owens. All right. Okay. Well, we can always do more of this, guys. We can always do more basketball. I think Vanderbilt is for real. Any other quick basketball takes that you have before we move on to the Titans coaching search?
I like Sparty. I like your Sparties. They look good.
You like Sparty?
I like Sparty.
Sparty's pretty good. Yeah, they are a good team. I have a child.
Nebraska's for real though. I know that's their Big Ten loss, but
Nebraska ball, baby. Nebraska ball. The only Power Four program that has not won an NCAA tournament game. They're 15-0. They just won at Ohio State. They just beat Michigan State. They won at Illinois. I tell you what, man, they are going to get a win this year in the NCAA tournament. It's got to happen. I'm sorry, we have Mike from Gallatin. Did I say that right? On the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHigh.com, wants to talk college basketball. Mike, what's up?
What's up, Joe? Hey, I'm petitioning to see how long you can continue to keep talking basketball. at the game itself last night, man, the atmosphere was absolutely crazy. It's exciting that Vanderbilt sports actually has something to, a season to actually get really hyped up about the whole entire athletics program as a whole. I think Candace Story Lee has a lot that she could, you know, be happy about right now, which is just a refreshing thing to see. I got a quick comment. So I called in the other day after Vanderbilt beat LSU, and I mentioned that Kim Mulkey's breakdown on the sidelines over the missed the little missed foot call there down the stretch was maybe one of my favorite, just like complete overreactions by a coach. I mean, yes, it was a bad call that they missed, but at the same time, I guess her being so animated was so funny to watch. Nate Oates going nuts on the sidelines over his tech that he got. We missed. There was a lot going on. We wasn't entirely sure if we saw what he was going nuts over, but he was so close to getting a double tech that he's getting right up there too about becoming one of those coaches that if we can keep our momentum going, we can use his words that he used in his little press conference about us not playing anybody to continue to fuel this team. So I'm extremely excited just to kind of see, just to continue to see how far this season can go. My quick question for you is how many more wins and big things is going to take for Robbie to make you have to do a whole show on basketball? Because it's coming down that stretch for sure.
Thank you, Mike. Well, the whole show on basketball, my goodness, in March, it's hard, you know. We get a few segments in March. Now, you know, we have not had a Vanderbilt team like this. We've had some really good Tennessee teams, and of course, he's a Tennessee fan. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a battle. I will continue to fight the good fight. It's way easier when he's not here.
I'll join you in the fight.
Yes, that's right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. I do have a texter who says Vandy matches up well against a team like Bama, but when they go against a team with big men, they will get killed in the paint. Yeah, I saw Tyler Hansbrough saying that. I mean, I guess I'd like maybe one more big on this team if you wanted to have a perfect roster. But, I mean, Washington, you know, Jalen Washington is a big. I mean,
yeah.
Okereke is a guy. You know, McLaughlin, a little undersized, but he can get in there and get rebounds. He had 10 and 12 last night. So I don't think that they're They're not like some smallish Smurf team out there. There are some front lines in college, like the matchup with Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, that would, you know, Michigan goes like 6'9", 6'9", 7'3", you know.
And they can all shoot.
At the 3-4-5. Yeah, but it's a tough matchup for anybody. So, nah, I don't know that I necessarily buy that.
It depends on the defensive scheme, I think. Like, if they're running a 2-3 zone, then yeah, probably. But I think Vanderbilt shoots the three ball well enough to where they can avoid that. They can swing it around outside the top of the key and find the open three and get there. But maybe inside, I think he's talking like post versus post maybe, but I think their guards are capable enough of getting inside and scoring easy layups as well. So I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some good length. They are, you know, Tanner and Miles are not big, but they've got some good size elsewhere with like Nickel. You obviously bring Bing off the bench. Harris has some good size, and they got good depth. I mean, look, it's a really good basketball team. It's amazing what Mark Byington's done. He's the favorite for National Coach of the Year. And to Mike's point, you got Kim Mulkey coming in here, who, of course, is, yeah, she's freaking out like she always does at everything that goes wrong. Then she also is like, says after the game she doesn't understand how she couldn't, like, get a review. It's like you can't review a non-call. They missed a call. Michaela Blake's foot was out. They should have called it, but they missed it. You don't know Kim Mulkey after half a century as a coach that you can't review that? What? Meanwhile, then you get to Nate Oates. Texter says Nate Oates is a used car salesman, good coach, but slimy. There's some people who don't like Nate Oates, for sure. And, yeah, that was weird what he said the other day. I'm like, why are you giving fuel to this team that's about to play you at home? Like, I mean, again, he's not totally wrong. Like, they didn't play the greatest non-league schedule. I would have loved to have seen them against a couple other of these, you know, Power Four teams and other leagues. But it was, I mean, you look at the strength of schedule and everything. I mean, it's pretty good. And I'm, you know, in fact, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, I mean, their strength of schedule is 54. I mean, it's not bad. They've played a lot of solid teams, and they're legit. And look at this. With two segments, and we talked about nothing but college basketball. Truly amazing. Okay, we will talk Titans coaching search next. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5 The Game. Apologies to Liam McLeod. He says, don't do it, Joe. I'm going back to sleep if we're doing Titans talk. And I said, just leave the radio on if you're going to do that, Liam, while you snooze. But we are going to get into the Titans here. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5 The Game. So Connor Newt, I don't know the answer to this question. I'm sure you've said it on the air many times.
Yeah.
And I probably heard it, and then I just probably just forgot. Who is your, if you have, we'll take John Harbaugh out of it. John Harbaugh, you know.
Well, he's not my number one anyway.
You wouldn't take John Harbaugh number one?
Oh, absolutely. I just don't think it's a realistic possibility.
Okay. So he's out of the equation. Who's your, if you were the Titans and you had your choice, it'd be who?
I'm a Robert Saleh guy.
Okay. So am I.
I'm a fan of the intensity he brings. I think he would provide a next level coaching to this defense that they've never seen before. The thing with Robert Saleh is I think you got to get the staff right. And that's the key for every coach that comes in here, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You've got to get a coordinator in here that is capable of developing Cam Ward and capable of taking this offense and making it something productive. Whether that's someone you interview in the head coaching process, like let's say, oh, we're going to hire Robert Saleh as the head coach, but Matt Nagy is going to be the offensive coordinator of this team. I would be heavily in favor of that. But as far as who do I want to be the next head coach, I think it's Robert Saleh.
Okay, well, that is an interesting question then, because I'm with you. I like Saleh. I think there's a little bit of there's a lot of stuff that happened with the Jets. Most of it's just stuff that happens with the Jets, but he didn't handle everything well. So you hope he's learned from that. There's a little bit of, I'd say, concern there, but I'm with you. Now, the coordinator's huge. So, like Robbie, you know, ranted yesterday about them interviewing Cliff Kingsbury, which I understand. Like, I agree. I would not want him as my head coach. However, as PK pointed out yesterday, let's go back to when they interviewed Matt LaFleur and they interviewed Mike Vrabel and some other people, and then they said, and then Vrabel struck out on his OC candidates, which I had forgotten totally that Nagy was the second choice. I remembered Ryan Day. He went after Ryan Day because Ryan Day was just an assistant at Ohio State under Urban Meyer.
Right.
And didn't get him. And then apparently it was Nagy. And then John Robinson's like, what about this LaFleur? And, you know, it worked out fine. Worked out great for LaFleur. He got the Packers job next. But that's could be an outcome with Cliff Kingsbury. So if it's Saleh, I mean, he's still going to have a DC. But yeah, especially the OC. Who would your OC of choice be to pair with him? Because we talked in the season a lot about, what about Saleh, McDaniel? How fun could that be? But apparently McDaniel's keeping his job. I guess, is Tampa Bay getting Harbaugh? Because all of a sudden, is that what's going on there? I don't know.
I feel like he's going to go to New York because they're going to give him everything he wants. You know, you get full roster control. We'll give you X amount for your salary and what have you. But as far as who I think should be coordinators here, I think I really like Matt Nagy. I feel like he's going to be involved in some level here, whether that's head coach or offensive coordinator. I think that could be a good pairing with him and Robert Saleh.
Okay.
I don't know. As far as coordinator, I think you can do the next up-and-coming guy, not similar to head coach. You need experience in this head coaching hire, I feel like, because the last guy you brought in that was supposed to be the next big thing was, in fact, not the next big thing.
Yeah, but you could still make – but that, does that mean you're not going to choose well doing the same thing like Jacksonville just did?
Right. No, it's – I mean, you're not going to hit every time. That's just how it is. But I like Matt Nagy. I think that's a good pairing with Robert Saleh. I'm trying to think of guys that are –
yeah, I mean, there's
currently coordinating for other teams.
Yeah, I mean, there's, well, again, Kingsbury.
Yeah,
is certainly, you know, certainly I think a guy.
Ryan Daboll.
Yeah, someone on the text line, Matthew Majolton, said he wants Daboll or Kingsbury. Because I don't think Kingsbury is going to get a head. I think there's plenty of warranted skepticism about Kingsbury as a head coach, and so I feel like. I don't know what else he has lined up for interviews, but I feel like some of these interviews for head coaching jobs are also kind of like, okay, but you could be our OC maybe. What do you think about that? You
know? Yeah.
Is it fair to see who Saleh had as OC with the Jets and kind of look at that as possible people to bring on the staff?
Do you remember who it was? Because
I mean, looking at it, it says he had
two. It was Hackett, wasn't it?
It was Mike LaFleur and Hackett.
Yeah, that's right. He did have Mike LaFleur.
And then apparently it says here Downing at some point took over before they all got fired.
Yeah, that's true too.
So I'm not sure I love that. Ooh. If you want to bring those guys in as like your offensive guys.
Come on back, Todd Downing.
Maybe Mike LaFleur, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure where he is right now, but Hackett and Downing definitely not gonna fly.
No, those would not be exciting. Yeah, I mean, Mike LaFleur is OC of the Rams. So that is, and look, that's what happened with Matt LaFleur, right? Matt LaFleur was a non-play calling OC. He's like, yes, I want to do the play calling thing, and then that'll help me get the, so he did. He came. And again, he did okay. Got the Packers job. Has worked out pretty well, unless you ask Robbie Stanley, but it's worked out pretty well. I mean, I got to say, man, Malik Willis, watching him here and then watching him there, there's no way that you can't give credit to Matt LaFleur for what he's done there, and then overall. But, yeah, so Mike LaFleur would be in the same situation. Anybody who's the OC of the Rams, as we all know, is not calling plays. Sean McVay is a human computer. So, yeah, that's not the craziest idea. And those guys are part of basically the same tree.
Yeah,
too.
Like Mike LaFleur wouldn't be the craziest.
No.
To have him as an OC, see how he does calling plays after a year with McVay. You know, with the Rams, kind of rehabilitate yourself almost in a way after being with the Jets and that debacle.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I do like Kingsbury. I like, as an OC, I like.
As a coordinator, yeah.
Would he do that? Why would he leave Washington to move here as an OC?
He got fired.
He got fired, or was it like a mutual parting of like letting go of the contracts?
No, I think he got fired, didn't he? I mean, this is one of those things where.
Didn't both the coordinators there get fired?
Yeah.
In Washington? So they just clean slate with both the coordinators.
Yeah, he got fired. And look, I mean, so he'll take an OC job. I don't think he's getting it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll get a head coaching job and blow somebody away in the interview process. But considering what happened in Arizona, I think he's going to have to be somebody's OC. And look, I think he got unfairly blamed this year. I'm sorry, but like, so this is –
too many injuries.
It's amazing how these things happen. It's like, okay, guys, so we all watched last year. Jaden Daniels was the story of the league. And the offense, immediately, it worked perfectly. I think he did a great job around Jaden Daniels. This year he's hurt. He's got Marcus out there, speaking of Marcus Mariota. So Marcus Mariota show today. And so, again, there's always things that you don't know behind the scenes, but it seems so obvious that, like, why would you scapegoat this guy when you saw how well he did his job when your quarterback was healthy last year, you know?
Yeah. I don't like him as a head coaching candidate, but no. I agree with you. I think he's one of those that's – he's just a better coordinator than he is a head coach. I like Monken as a OC opportunity. I don't know. He might follow Harbaugh wherever he goes, which I think would probably be your best bet. I do find it interesting that Harbaugh is interviewing next week because some of these jobs may be opening based on who wins and who loses in the playoff.
That was an interesting report. He's not going to interview until next week for any jobs.
Yeah, and he can you know, kind of do what he wants. As someone texted, the expectation of some people as he's waiting on Buffalo and waiting to see what happens, and if they lose to the Jags, is McDermott done? I think it's possible. I mean, people are going to say Josh Allen will never get it done. Well, Josh Allen's going to get more cracks at it, but it might be time. Okay, how about another a different coach?
Yeah,
and I'd be pretty excited if I was Buffalo about the idea of Harbaugh and Monken getting a shot at Josh Allen. I mean, there's definitely some commonalities there between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. So. So that is interesting. Yeah, like Trevor said, could be the Packers too, potentially. Robbie does not think that's happening, and Robbie pays very close attention to the idea of Matt LaFleur being fired. But certainly the Bills, I think, is possible. One thing you mentioned, Connor, about Harbaugh, and I've seen this out there a lot. Like, if the Titans throw the world at Harbaugh, give him all the money, but also control. Are we sure he wants roster control? Because some coaches don't, and it worked incredibly well for him to not have it, to have a really good GM. I mean, their front office with Baltimore, Ozzie Newsom to Eric DaCosta, it's been incredibly effective. Now, maybe getting away from that, he's like, okay, now I've learned a lot from those guys. I would like to, but I don't know. I guess. It is possible, right, that some coaches are like, I actually just want to do my job really well, and I will have input, of course, and I'll have a say, but I'm not final say guy.
Yeah, I think it's appealing from the aspect that he can take a team like the Giants or the Dolphins or someone like that that's on the lower echelon of NFL teams, bring in whoever the hell he wants, and then they're title contenders the next year. I think that would be intriguing to him. I'm not saying, like, that's going to make or break whether or not you hire him, because I don't know what's going through his mind. I don't know what's happening in those conversations. But I just feel like John Harbaugh's always been the coach of a team that's been relatively competitive. Whether you go back to the Flacco and D-Mace days, or even now you got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, he's always had pieces that I think are able to make them a competitive team in the AFC. So I think the idea of him going to a lesser team for more money and more power would be intriguing to him.
Yeah, as long as he sees the pathway.
Right.
You know, that's the thing, right? Like, you got to see the path, and a lot of times it just comes down to, like, what's the quarterback situation? Either they have a quarterback I believe in that can do it, or like the Raiders, you know, they have the number one pick, and I think Mendoza's going to be amazing. I think there's going to be a fair amount of skepticism about Mendoza. Mendoza is a good prospect. I think he could be, but number one overall pick, he's not a vintage number one overall pick at quarterback. Right. Just like Cam Ward wasn't a year ago. Someone throwing out there Bobby Slowick as the OC. You know, obviously he and Sala have a history. He is a senior passing game coordinator for the Dolphins. So there's another guy who, I don't know, he was the toast of the league 2 years ago, and then last year he's scapegoated. And, you know, again, I don't know everything that happened, but it's crazy to think that guy probably could have had a head coaching job, stays on with the Texans, and then gets blamed for everything when injuries were definitely part of that too. But, yeah, I suppose he'd be another possibility as OC if it is Sala. Yeah. All right, we come back. Best and worst in sports. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time! This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
And it is that time of week again. Best and worst in sports here in Robbie Rex Show. So Robbie always lets me go first, which I really appreciate. And I usually just take the low hanging fruit, the obvious one, because I don't have any independent thoughts of my own. And it makes it very easy for me. But I think today, since I'm on microphone one, I'm going to let you guys go first. So, Connor Newt, you start us off, your best and worst in sports.
Well, I appreciate the generosity, Joe Rexroad. The best in sports to me is, I think, just the overall recruiting of Lane Kiffin at LSU. I find it absolutely hilarious that he's not able to retain anyone from Ole Miss. Trinidad Chambliss says he's coming back pending his extra year of eligibility. Now, Kewon Lacy, their running back, says he's coming back to Ole Miss. I just find it absolutely hysterical. The plan that Lane Kiffin had heading into LSU, thinking this team is not going to go very far in the playoff. They're all going to come to Baton Rouge. We're going to run it back with this team in purple and gold. And then they go to the semifinals, and they just say, well, we believe in Pete Golding. We're going to come back. We're not playing for you. I just find it hilarious. And he can't really grab anyone in the portal. Everyone is seeing through his BS. So that's the best, maybe the worst for some, but that's the best in sports for me. The worst for me has to be the ending, and we're delving back into college basketball talk, so text line rejoice. The ending to the Auburn-Texas A&M game. Ooh. From the other day. If you didn't see it, Auburn hit a shot from half court basically to win the game. They ruled it. It was a good shot. Then they go to the review. The ball was clearly out of his hands with a tenth of a second remaining, and they say no good. Texas A&M gets the win at Auburn. So I thought that was kind of ridiculous. I think not that it's going to do much. Auburn should send an appeal to the SEC or the NCAA and say, this is what we see. We have video evidence to back it up. It's not going to do anything, obviously, but they can at least get some closure. So that's my worst.
That was a tough one. That was a tough one for War Eagle, yeah.
Well, to piggyback off that, Newt kind of stole mine there. My best and worst, have you heard the radio call from the Auburn game?
No.
Down two, Auburn ball, 0.6 seconds to go. Three quarters of the court to go. Freeman will trigger for the
Tigers.
Got to
run a wheel, kind of gets everybody in motion.
Throws to midcourt.
Got a shot
Murphy
at it.
Three to win it.
Yes.
God, they
yes.
Got it. Auburn
yes.
wins. Auburn wins.
Yes.
Murphy hit
yes.
the three. The Tigers
yes.
win.
Yes.
The Tigers win. Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
Murphy.
Oh, my goodness.
From just inside.
Oh, my goodness.
Knocked it home.
What a shot.
The Tigers win.
What a shot.
The Tigers win. Unbelievable!
Magnificent Murphy comes through!
Murphy caught it and shot it! A three-pointer to win it! Unbelievable!
Way to go! What a play! Great strategic play for the coaches! Drew it up, and Murphy wears it from the midcourt line.
All right, let Swiss. Me say this. They are going to review to make sure two things. One, that he got rid of the ball in time, and two, to make sure that there's no time left. Holy cow.
And it went on, of course, once they realized it was
Do you have the reaction to the
– I don't, not
okay,
right now.
Okay.
I
mean, my gosh. He hammered some of the same comments over and over.
So
there.
I thought the combination –
So wait, is that your best or worst? That's both?
That's
okay,
a double whammy.
I like that.
I'm doing both. Like, the call, everything got ruined. It was just the whole situation.
We tag-teamed that. I unintentionally stole it from you. I apologize.
No, all good. I heard that call earlier this week and the other night. I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. Okay. My best is Vanderbilt. Both basketball teams. Earlier this year, there was both coaches were kind of asking for more fan support. And, you know, again, I get it, but also, like, there weren't great games there. And, I, you know, people didn't know how good these teams were. I think Vanderbilt fans have to condition themselves. Also, Vanderbilt fans, like, I'm not used to, like, being this locked in on football this long. It's like all these things that are changing. But you saw the atmospheres in these two games, huge wins over LSU and Alabama. Teams that are right now projected as number two seeds, that means like teams that you have to consider contenders, like national contenders. So that's an easy best. My worst, actually, I was going to do an offshoot of you, Lane, but I'm going to talk a little bit about him and other things at 7:45. You know what? I'm going to switch my worst to this text from James. Who says, quote, I don't know if you guys are aware, but nowadays all sports are rigged due to sports betting. The proof is in the pudding, end quote. And, you know, I think I have valid concerns. We know players, that this is happening. There's a lot of it out there. We also know more because of the way sports betting is, and I'm concerned about officials. But if you actually think sports are quote unquote rigged due to sports betting, you have to be one of the dumbest people on earth. I mean, like, seriously. And if that's the case, like, you should never watch sports anymore. Like, if you don't think that these are actual games being played, why would you ever watch it?
How do you find enjoyment in that?
I would never watch it again because, I mean, sorry, and I don't mean to rip on pro wrestling. Some people love it. That's fine.
I do.
Great. It's your entertainment, but you know what it is.
Right.
Yeah. So if that's what I thought this was, I'm out. You know, like I will watch Stranger Things, which, by the way, I still haven't seen the finale. Yeah. So, no, they're not all rigged due to sports betting. Now, there is stuff that you have to be concerned about with sports betting. But actually, all this stuff being above ground now, where we're all monitoring everything, actually makes it less likely, James, if you actually think about it. So thank you for giving me a worst in sports. I very much appreciate it. Jared from Spring Hill says, best Missouri basketball winning for the first time in Rupp. I didn't realize that was their first win ever in Rupp.
Yeah, I learned that last night.
Wow. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they've played there that much anyway because
– Yeah, they're relatively new to the SEC.
Yeah. And worst is Tyler Loop missing that kick. Yeah, if you're a Ravens fan, that is tough. Ron, here's a best for me. Ron says, good morning, Joe. I'm listening to you guys all the way in Cairo, Egypt. It's 2:54 p.m.
Wow.
That's fantastic, Ron. And I've been to Cairo, by the way. Great city. Enjoy it, Ron. I'm sure you're going to see the pyramids and the Sphinx. All amazing stuff. Best from Matthew from Jolton. Titan season's over. We've seen gradual improvement from Cam and the college football playoff. Worst, somehow Kalen DeBoer still has his job. Figured Tide fans would have run him out of town. Boy, Kalen DeBoer, it's a big year. It is a big year next year for Kalen DeBoer.
Absolutely.
Without question. On the college football front, we are next going to talk to Adam Sparks from Knoxville News Sentinel. Tennessee Vols may be closing in on a quarterback who I like a lot for 2026. We'll talk to him about that and more. Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game.